We're going to turn in our to our next passage in John's Gospel. So we're walking the road to the cross with Jesus. We're going to turn to John chapter 18. And Joe's going to come and read from John chapter 18, verse 28. So bottom of page 1086. That's flicking, 1086. John 18, 28. I'll come on and follow you. Thanks, Joe.
Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away. Crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come now to look together at these words that you have given us in your Bible. Please help us. Lord Jesus, we read these words and think on what you suffered and pray, please help us to understand. Spirit of God, please would you, as you indwell us, please would you help us to learn, see, know, understand, feel, as we reflect on these verses together, we pray. Amen. Last week, we considered the fact that it had been a long night for Peter. A long night, starting back in chapter 13, as they celebrated the Passover meal with Jesus, as Jesus washed their feet, as he said to them, I must clean you. And then the long night ended as Peter declared three times, I don't know him. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. All the while, Jesus was persisting towards the cross, heading towards the cross, towards his arrest, knowingly, willingly going to drink the cup that the Father was going to give him, this cup of wrath that would be the punishment that we all deserve. Jesus was going to the cross to die in our place. And that was the end of a long night, Thursday night. And now we come to Friday morning. Jesus has been locked up with the religious leaders overnight. And this morning, they take Jesus, the Jewish leaders in verse 28, they take Jesus from Caiaphas, one of the religious leaders' houses, the courtyard there, to the palace of the Roman governor. By now, it's early morning. They take him to the palace, but to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they don't enter the palace because they want to be able to eat the Passover. And we'll think about the irony of that in a moment. So they bring Jesus to Pilate, but they won't go into Pilate's house. So Pilate comes out to them, and he asks them, what charges are you bringing against this man? A good question, a legitimate question. Pilate is the Roman governor of Jerusalem at the time, and he's the official in charge of the court system. If anybody's going to get sentenced to death, it has to have Pilate's seal of approval. And so he asks them, like any good judge, what charges are you bringing against him? And immediately the Jewish officials are kind of a bit shady, a bit unsure, not really that serious maybe, but almost vague about what's going on. Verse 30, if he were not a criminal, if he hadn't done some big crime, why would we bring him to you? Look at him, he's obviously a criminal. If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Well, there's no real charge here. Just a vague statement about Jesus' criminal activity. We don't know what it is, and Pilate doesn't really understand, so he says, well, if that's all you've got, you take him, you judge him by your laws. If you're not going to come to me with serious charges, then you take him. And it's at this moment that the Jewish leaders reveal exactly what they hope to happen. But we have no right to execute anyone. They want to be clean, so they don't enter Pilate's palace. He's a Gentile, he's not a Jew. If they go into his house, the law of God says they'll be unclean, and they don't want to be unclean because they want to eat the special meal that God has given the Jewish people. But they do want this man executed. Whilst they're trying to get the man executed, they don't want to get unclean because they want to eat this special meal. And it starts sadly for them, and it gets worse as we see their hearts uncovered. They want this man executed, so they've brought him to Pilate. This happens, this desire of theirs happens in verse 32. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Jesus has told people from the beginning of John's gospel, I'm heading towards my hour, my death, where I'll be lifted up on a cross. And as I'm lifted up, I'll draw many people to myself. And it is this that Jesus is going to, this kind of death. He's promised it, he's predicted it, and now it's coming because the Jewish leaders are taking him to Pilate. After the initial conversation with the Jewish leaders, Pilate goes back inside the palace in verse 33. Jesus probably has been locked up in, I don't know, the basement or something, in some sort of Roman jail in the palace. And so Pilate goes back inside, he summons Jesus, and he asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And it becomes an important question. And the reason it's important is because the Romans have got the Jews under captivity. And if the Jews are going to find a king and mount an uprising, it really matters that the Romans know. And if Jesus is the king of the Jews, come to kind of bring in some sort of powerful uprising, if he's collecting soldiers and gathering troops to fight back against the Romans, then Pilate needs to know because he needs to squash Jesus. It's likely the Jewish leaders have said to him, to Pilate, "This man's claiming to be a king, so you need to deal with him before it gets out of hand." And so Pilate wants to know, "Are you the king of the Jews? Have you got this plan to mount an army and get horses and fight us? Do I need to squash you?" Well, Jesus wants to know whether it's an honest conversation or whether he's got baggage. Verse 34, "Is that your own idea? Are you coming to me on your own terms with your own ideas? Or did others talk to you about me? Are you just regurgitating what other people have said?" And Pilate's answer reveals, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" He just wants to know, "Jesus, are you going to cause me problems or not? Do I need to squash you?" And Jesus' reply to Pilate reveals, Jesus is not about swords. We saw that already when he told Peter to put his sword away. Jesus is not about swords and armies. No, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Pilate, let me tell you about what I told Peter when he got his sword out. "Peter, it's not about swords. Put your sword away." He's telling Pilate, "I'm not gathering troops. I'm not coming to bring a kingdom here and now. My kingdom is another kind of kingdom, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that is from another place." "Now you are a king then," says Pilate. Jesus replies, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the very reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Now, Jesus' kingdom that he's bringing in is a kingdom of truth. And all through John's gospel, he's been teaching people the truth, telling people the truth about who God is. He's the Word made flesh, Jesus, so he reveals God to people. He's been telling people the truth about the problem of sin. He's declared himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. If you want to live in darkness, go away. If you want to live in light, come to me. I'm the good shepherd," he's told people. Jesus has been proclaiming the truth, and everyone on the side of truth listens to him. Pilate's not particularly convinced. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. And with this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there. Pilate doesn't even wait around for an answer to his question, "What is truth?" He goes straight back outside. The Jews are still gathered. Time's gone by. They're excited about Pilate's answer. Now he's going to come out and he's going to tell us that he's going to crucify Jesus. But they don't get the answer they're looking for. He went out again to the Jews gathered and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." And that should be the end of the story. That should be it for this episode. That should be case closed. "I find no basis for a charge against him. I'm going to release him. Jesus, I can't see why they've brought you to me. Off you go." But almost like he's people-pleasing or trying to alleviate some pressure on himself, he says to them, "Well, I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? And I think this is his attempt to say, look, you've brought Jesus to me and you want me to declare him guilty. I can't find any basis for charges against him. But if we do the thing where I release him as one of the special releases of the Passover, you look like you were right. He was guilty. And I don't have to crucify him. Win-win. You look like you took him to me. I said, sure. Good. I'm glad you brought him to me. But special release, special pardon for Jesus. Off he goes. And I don't have to crucify. Win-win is the theory. And I imagine Pilate kind of smiling inside, thinking, this is a really good solution. They're going to be pleased because they can say that he was dodgy, and I don't have to put him on a cross. The Jews aren't content with that, though. Far from it, in fact. Verse 40, the volume's been turned up. They're turning into a mob. And they shout back, no, not him, give us Barabbas. Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. They want a rebel released instead of Jesus, the one for whom there's no basis of a charge. And we're just getting a glimpse into their heart. It's Passover. They should be celebrating. They don't want to be unclean, but they do want a guilty man released and an innocent man sentenced. Their hearts are wicked. So Pilate goes back inside, takes Jesus, gets him out of the prison again, sends him off with the soldiers to be flogged, beaten. There's a couple of different kinds of floggings that the Romans used to do. I think this one was probably a fairly light-hearted one to start with. I'm going to give him a beating, and then I'll take him out again. They'll see how pathetic he is, and they'll let me let him out. So he sends him off to be flogged by Roman soldiers. And they don't take it that lightly. The soldiers, they twist together a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. They clothe him in a purple robe, symbol of royalty and nobility. And they go up to him again and again, mocking, saying, hail, look, the king's here, the king. Oh, look at you, you're so noble and royal and brilliant. King of the Jews, hail. And they slap him in the face. Again and again. And as the thorns begin to pierce the skin on his head, they go again, hail, king of the Jews. And they slap him again. And so after his flogging, Pilate comes out again to the Jewish leaders. Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. And then he brings Jesus out. And when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, look, here is the man. Look on him. What's he going to do? Look at the blood dripping from his brow. Look at the bruises to his face. Look at his tattered royal robe. What's he going to do? Just let me let him out. He's not a threat. This pathetic man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shout, crucify! Crucify! And Pilate answers, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. Third time, no charge. This man is innocent, Pilate says. I don't want to crucify him. But the Jewish leaders, they insist. We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. Initially, their problem was that he claimed to be a king. Pilate, you should get rid of him. You should squash him because he's claiming to be a king. He's a danger to you and the Romans. But now they reveal the real problem. They don't like the fact that Jesus has claimed to be the Son of God. They're saying it's blasphemy. Look at him, Pilate. He's claimed to be the Son of God. It's blasphemy. You need to get rid of him. And again, the irony is they stand before the King of the Jews, who is wearing a crown and a royal robe, and they should bow, and instead they shout, "Crucify!" All because he claimed to be the Son of God, which is exactly what he was. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace. And he speaks to Jesus out of fear. Who are you? Where do you come from? What is all this Son of God stuff? Jesus gave him no answer. Not trying to weasel his way out of this one. Content to go to crucifixion. Pilate says, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? I can let you go, or I can sentence you to death." And finally, Jesus speaks in answer, "You, Pilate, would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Pilate, you think you have power. You think you've been given by Rome, but truly your authority comes because God has allowed you. My Father has allowed you to have some semblance of authority in this place. You would have no power if it were not given to you from above. Pilate, you think that you're the man playing the game. But I am pulling the strings, me and my Father. And so what is happening is God's plan, but that doesn't remove the guilt from anyone involved. Pilate, you're guilty, but the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. The Jewish leaders, Judas, guilty of a greater sin, betraying and sending to their death, his death, the Son of God. Well, Pilate sits down for a moment, I imagine, gets his counselors and plots. Is there any way we can get this man free? This all just feels a bit wrong. He's clearly innocent. We have no basis for a charge. Surely there's a way we can just work out to let him go. Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But outside, the Jewish leaders, they're shouting, "If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." And the echo comes through the palace, and Pilate hears it. And he goes outside again, and he brings Jesus out. And this time is going to be the final time as he sits down on the judge's seat. All opportunity to free him seems to have gone. Pilate can't wait, work out a way of freeing this man who is supposedly, maybe, the Son of God, the King of the Jews. He can't work out a way. And so he gives in. He brings Jesus out. We get this detail. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. This has been going on all morning, back and forth. "Here is your king," Pilate says to the Jews. And there's no sobriety, no sense of somber atmosphere. They just shout, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asks. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answer. And it's another detail about their corrupt and broken, wicked hearts. We have no king but Caesar. And it's not the Jews in general saying this, it's the chief priests, the people who are supposed to be in charge of the Jews to help them know God and love God. They're declaring, we have no king but Caesar. And yet all through the Psalms, they're waiting for a king, the promised Messiah. And now he's standing in front of them and they're crucifying, declaring their allegiance not to him, but to a Roman king. I don't know if you remember the story in Exodus when God has brought his people out of Egypt. And they're gathered at the foot of the mountain and Moses goes up the mountain. And God's going to deliver to them 10 commandments. He's going to say to them, I've rescued you. I love you. Now live for me. What do they do? Down the bottom of the mountain. They gather all their gold. They make a calf out of gold and they worship the calf. And you're thinking, what are you doing? And the same is going on here. The Jewish leaders are supposed to be leading the people to worship Jesus, and yet they're declaring their allegiance to a fake bystander king, Caesar. They want to be clean so they can eat the Passover meal, a meal that was supposed to point them to a lamb who would be slain for the sins of the people. And even as they don't want to be unclean, they are acting for the death of the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. Their hearts are wicked as they declare allegiance to Caesar, even as they have Jesus killed. And so perhaps with a sigh, perhaps with resignation, verse 16, finally Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. And the soldiers, they take charge of Jesus. And we'll get to the next bit of the story next week. Well, let's just draw a few things together as we notice the time of year, the Passover. Details in verse 28, verse 39, and verse 14. It's key. This is the Passover. This is the time where they celebrate their exit from Egypt, where they take a spotless, innocent lamb and they kill it, and they spread its blood on the doorposts to remember that God passed over them. And all the while, Jesus, three times declared to be innocent, is being prepared for his death. He's the Passover lamb that they should be waiting for. And yet the innocent one is being handed over to death. There's a helpful quote from one of the commentaries on this, reflecting on what happens here. We're faced with the fact that the one perfect life our planet has witnessed, universally recognized as the epitome of goodness and love and kindness and purity and integrity, is sentenced to death on a Roman cross. And it's both horrific as the Jewish leaders' hearts are revealed and Pilate's heart is revealed and the innocent one goes sentenced to be killed on a cross, and glorious as the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world heads to his death to take away the sins of the world. It's horrific and glorious in equal measure. And I think the question we're invited to ask as we walk the cross, or walk the road to the cross with Jesus, is whose side are you on? You've got the Jews, they're very clearly exposed in this chapter as having wicked, evil hearts. It's horrible the way they treat Jesus when they should be waiting for him. They hate him. They want him dead. And on the other side, you've got Jesus, the truth teller, the one bringing in an eternal kingdom, the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And you've got to choose. And Pilate shows us that you've got to choose. As he kind of flip-flops in and out, in and out, in and out, with Jesus, against Jesus, with Jesus, against Jesus. He's showing us what we need to make a decision. There's no room on the fence as we approach Easter. You're either with the Jews and with Pilate, maybe not shouting for crucifixion, but going, yeah, okay. If I have to decide, I'll go that side. Maybe you're over there. Or you're with Jesus, the flogged, truth-telling king wearing a crown of thorns. And if you're on his side, you know just what we need to do? As he was teaching Pilate about who he was, if we're on Jesus' side, we need to listen to him. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And so as we reflect on the crucifixion of Jesus, as we think about his heading to the cross, if you're shouting crucify, or you're kind of shrugging about Jesus' death, yeah, okay. Notice the horror of that position as you join in with those who send him to his death. Or you're over here, and if you're over here, our task is very simple. We listen to him. And so if you're on this side, if you're with Jesus, the simple instruction over the weeks leading up to Easter and on is listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Every day, all day, listen to Jesus. Even as he goes to the cross and is slain for me and you. Let's pray together. Father, we rejoice that the Lord Jesus does all this, goes through all this to be the Lamb of God who's slain for the sins of the world. To be the Son and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He goes to the cross to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. We're confronted by Jewish hearts and Roman hearts as they collectively send Jesus to his death. Keep us from being like them. Help us to be on King Jesus' side. Help us to listen to him. And over these next days and weeks, as we head to Easter Sunday, Friday and Sunday, please help us to rejoice as Jesus goes to the cross for people like us. Amen.